Thankful the Lord gave you that scripture, because we've come into the text in Romans that every believer here has been waiting on us to get to. Romans 8:28. And this goes right along with what Brother Kevin just read. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This verse is one that every true believer knows and gains great, great comfort from. This is a great comfort to us. But this verse is so misquoted and it's so misapplied by men when they come into any kind of tragedy or any kind of trouble or something goes wrong. One thing that's pretty popular this day, especially amongst younger people, is to say, well, all things happen for a reason. That came from this verse. That's a terrible, inaccurate paraphrase of this verse. That's not what this verse says. That's leaving things to blind faith, blind reason. All things happen for a reason. God works all things. And He works all things for a particular people. And He works all things according to His eternal purpose. That's what this verse said. Others will say, well, all things work together for good. We just sang a song. And I don't like how the song quoted it because it misquoted it, but at least the song does go on and talk about God working the thing. Though it doesn't apply it to who He works it for enough for my liking, but you got to go with what you got. But they'll say, well, all things work together for good, but that leaves out to whom this verse applies. And it leaves out that providence is according to God's predestinating purpose. Others will go a little further. Well, all things work together for good to them that love God. That still leaves out the qualification that determines who it is that loves God. And it leaves out the fact that it's only the called according to God's purpose. You all may have heard the story. I don't think he would mind me telling it. It's been retold many times. But the first time that Rolf Barnard came to Pollard Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky, Brother Henry Mahan was a 20-something-year-old Armenian free will preacher. And I don't know how they ended up inviting Rolf Barnard to preach there, but there was a whole bunch there and all different denominations and everything. And Rolf Barnard got up and he asked Brother Henry to stand up and quote Romans 8:28. He stood up and he said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. And I think he said, no, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And he sat down, stand back up, quote it again. He said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. He sat down. He said, stand back up. Give me the verse. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. And Rolf Barnard shouted to the top of his lungs, purpose. Purpose. Everything is according to God's eternal, predestinating purpose. That which comes to pass is providence. That's God working everything He purposed from beginning. That's what we have in this one verse. We have providence. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called. And we have God's predestinating purpose. It's all according to His purpose. Every bit of it. Both in this one verse right here. It begins and it says, and we know. I like how it begins with the word and. In addition to everything else that's been stated in this chapter. In addition to the fact there's now no condemnation, in addition to the fact that we know this because the Spirit's delivered us from the law of sin and death, in addition to the fact that the Spirit quickens us so that we don't have to depend on our flesh, He mortifies our flesh, in addition to the fact that we know that He ministers to us and bears witness that we're sons of God, in addition to the fact that He fills us with the fruits of the Spirit and makes us hope for that day when Christ will return and redeem our bodies, in addition to the fact that He puts the will of God in our heart with words that can't even be uttered so that we pray according to God's will and God will actually hear us, in addition to all that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. We know. We know. We know by God's Word. This is what God shows us throughout His Word. We know it because the Spirit of God has purged our conscience and written His Word on our heart so that we know now, spiritually. This is not we're guessing on it or we just have a good idea that this is so. We know this with a firm persuasion by the Spirit of God revealing this in our heart. And we also know this by experience. Romans 5:3 says, we glory in tribulations also. We glory in trials also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience maturity, and experience works hope. And hope never makes us ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. So we know by the Word, we know in the court of our conscience, and we know by experience. By experience. Now, here's what we know. We know that the true and living God is so holy, so powerful, so wise to save His people that He works all things together in providence for His people according to His eternal predestinating purpose. We know this. If you're a child of God, born of God, this hour, you know this. If you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things, and you know this. God's people know this. First of all, we know what God's doing in all of providence. Providence is simply what's coming to pass. Everything that's coming to pass is God's providence. What's He doing in everything that's coming to pass since the first second of this world? What's He been doing? Verse 28 says, We know that all things work together for good. That's what He's been doing. All things includes everything. All persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they work together for good. All things that come to pass, good, bad, it all works together for good. The fall into sin and death in Adam. That looks bad, doesn't it? That was bad. But it's worked together for good. The devil, sin, death, that's all worked together for good. Affliction, temptation, when we suffer desertion, betrayal, that's all being worked together for good. All things that make us happy, all things that make us sad, all things that come to pass, great and small, all things work together for good. All things in God's grace and salvation. Look down at verse 29 and let's read down to verse 31. Here's what this thing's all about right here. It's about God's salvation, about God's grace. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, because who God did foreknow, who He did elect, who He did ordain, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Did you see in there anywhere where we did anything? It was all He did it. He did it all. That's providence. That's His purpose. He does it all. In all our salvation, it's all worked together for good by God. All of it. All of it. All things, He says here, work together. All things work together. You see these opposing forces and opposing people and opposing parties and opposing countries and all this, and they're just fighting. But they're working together. They don't know it, and they'd hate to hear that. But they're working together because God's working it together. It doesn't just magically bump into each other and it somehow all works together. God works it all together. God's working it all together. Psalm 115:3 says, God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. What is that? Everything is coming to pass. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Job 23:13, He's in one mind. Who can turn Him? What His soul desireth, even that He doeth. You see, this is what makes God God. Men who make up a God and write their word of their God, they don't ever have a God like this. Why? Because man can't do this. And He don't make a God that can do this. Because then His God would be in control rather than Him being in control. This is the God who does what He will. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. You see some party gathered up on the shore and they're fixing to fire off nuclear weapons or they're fixing to send all their army over here and do something to us. I guarantee you, I don't care how well they've planned it, what they've planned out, if it's not God's will, it's coming to nothing. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. And then it says here, all things work together for good. For good. The good that God's speaking of here is not necessarily our temporal good. It's not necessarily our physical good. We need to understand this. There's preachers out there saying, well, if you get a disease or you fall into poverty, you don't have enough faith. It's your fault. That's works religion. That's telling you to do something so you can be prosperous and God will bless you. That's health, wealth, prosperity religion. That's just free will works religion. God has poor people in this world who God made poor. God has people in this world who have diseases who God gave the disease. God has people who suffer great trials and persecutions and even cruel deaths. Go read Hebrews 11. And God gave them that suffering. But even all that is for our good. Our spiritual, eternal, everlasting good. That's the good we're talking about. Our eternal, everlasting, spiritual good, our salvation. I'll give you an example. Adam fell by disobedience and he made all his people sinful. Now, God's not the author of sin. Man sinned. God let Adam do what Adam would do, and he sinned. In a perfect environment, with upright, knowing no sin, he still disobeyed God. You see, God's creatures are made by God, and we're dependent upon God to keep us. It doesn't matter if we're sinless or not. You're still dependent upon God to keep you. And God permitted you to just do what you would do. Look what Adam did. In that environment, and in that state. Now, what do you think you'll do? As a sinner, in a sinful, cursed world, what do you think you'd do if God let you do what you will? But he did that, and that was a bad thing. That happened to all people, even to God's people. And yet, it was for the spiritual, eternal good of God's people. Because it manifests the last Adam. It was a picture of the last Adam. Christ Jesus, by whose obedience we're saved and God's glorified. You see what I'm saying? It may be bad, but it's for good. And God's going to bring good out of it. All the evil things that the devil and his seed, his children, there's Scripture speaks of the devil and his seed. There's the devil and he has a bunch of children, men and women, in this world. Every wicked, evil thing they've ever done throughout history was all permitted by God. He simply let wicked men do what was in their heart. And yet God ordered it and worked it together and arranged it all for God's glory and the salvation of God's people. Every bit of it. The rest of the evil, God restrains. Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. If you see it, and it's wicked, and it's evil, and it's terrible, the only reason God allowed it to happen is because it's bringing glory to God, and it's for the good of His people. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. The worst act that the devil and sinful, wicked men ever did was to put the Prince of Life on a cross to crucify the God of glory. That's the worst thing ever happened in history. The worst thing that ever happened in history. And the only thing men were doing is what God predestinated and purposed before to be done. Acts 2:23 says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. God determined it before. It was according to His eternal counsel, His purpose, His predestinating decree. That's why it came to pass. That's why providentially God allowed it to come to pass and made it come to pass. The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. There's all things working together. Israel, Gentiles, Romans, Jews, Gentiles, all working together for good. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, if that's the case and you see the good that came out of that, you see how evil and wicked that was by the men who did it. They did it with wicked hands. And yet you see the good God brought out of that. Then know everything else that's coming to pass. No matter how wicked and evil it is, God's working it all together for good. Every bit of it. And you know, He does this for our everlasting good. And we need everything to be worked together for our good. Just imagine if God gave you nothing but sorrow. You would fall away in despair if He gave you nothing but sorrow. But He mixes that sorrow with happiness and joy. But imagine if He just gave you all joy and all happiness. We'd get so lifted up in pride and arrogance and like we don't even need God. So He mixes them together and gives you some sorrow, gives you some joy. Because that keeps us right where we need to be. Right where God will have us to be. See, He's working all things together for good. For the good. The Lord God, He's doing this for His people, knowing what to bring each of His children for our good. That's what's amazing. I think I told you that, what Spurgeon said one time about God's people, our children. You know, if we have a house full of kids, and some of them at some point is going to have to be on the outer circumference because we can only deal with one at a time. Not God. All His children are the center of His attention all the time. And He knows what each and every one of us need, so He works it together for our good. Everything that comes to pass. The Lord God's a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. It might not look like a good thing to you and me, but it's a good thing. There shall no evil happen to the just. It might look evil, but it's not evil. Not to those he's justified. But the wicked, oh, they'll be filled with it. They'll be filled with it. Well, that sounds like God made everything and everybody for himself. That sounds like God made everybody and everything for himself to bring glory to himself. That's exactly right. Scripture says the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. In the day of judgment, when he casts out the wicked, that's going to be to bring glory to God's justice and his righteousness. We've seen this in King Nebuchadnezzar. He's an example. Here was a proud king that thought he was God and thought that nobody could tell him what to do. God made him a madman. Put him on all fours out in a field like a beast. And then when God was ready, God returned his sense to him. And he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase." Aren't you glad? We wouldn't have any understanding of salvation if he had not abased these proud rebels that you and I are. Isn't that right? God's ways are not our ways. We certainly wouldn't do things the way God does them. Thank God he doesn't allow it. But God's ways are always truth. And his ways are always judgment. And his ways are always good for his people. Always. You see the wisdom of God in that? You see the power of God in that? Look over at Romans 11:33. Proud boasters say, "Why does God allow evil things to happen in this world?" Well, now you know. Now you know. He's working them all together for the good of his people. It's called God's providence. Look here, Romans 11:33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him?" It'll be recompensed unto him again. If you can find one person that first gave anything to God, God says, "I'll recompense it to him." You can't find anybody that first gave anything to God. How come? Because of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Isn't that right? Now look at this second thing. Go back to our text. Secondly, to whom is God working all things together for good? It's for his particular people. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called." Now, we cannot make the statement, and if you're doing this, going around doing this, stop doing it. We cannot go around and make the statement, "Well, all things work together for good." You can't do that. We can't say that. Because that's going to apply to everybody without exception. And this does not apply to everybody without exception. God's clear as can be on it. This does not apply to everybody without exception. The sinner who passes through his entire life hating God, hating Christ, hating his people, hating his gospel, God has never done one good thing for that man. Not one. He might have been the richest man on this earth. All God was doing was fattening him up for the slaughter. He wasn't doing anything good for him. The only good that's done is spiritual everlasting salvation. That's the only good that's done. Well, the reason that concept may come across to us as being confusing, that God doesn't do good for the rebel, is because we consider good to be things that make us happy in this life. That's not the good he's talking about. The good he's talking about is salvation. And now God hadn't done anything to save a man that goes through his life rebelling against God and passes into eternity that way. God's not, because if you say God was trying to do something for him and failed, you make God a failure. That's not the God we're talking about in this passage, is it? This God don't fail. Not at all. Maybe God allowed him to learn some true doctrine. Maybe God did that and he soothed his conscience with it. Made himself think he was God's child, but he all the while walked contrary to God's word. God didn't do anything for him. He didn't do a thing for him. God didn't give him that doctrine. The devil gave it to him, and God let the devil give it to him to soothe his conscience on his way to hell. I don't care if it's true doctrine. There's going to be a lot of straight, I mean, Calvinist straight as a shotgun barrel and twice as empty in hell. I guarantee you. God works all things together for good to them that love God. And He tells us who they are, to them that God Himself has called. You see, if God only said to them that love God, every sinner in this world would apply that to themselves. Oh, I love God. The God that you have in your mind, and that God you can control, yeah. But see, God here, He doesn't leave it there. He qualifies it. And He says, it's only those that God Himself has called. We read there in verse 29, whom He did foreknow. That word foreknow, that's not just, first of all, it doesn't say what He foreknew. I don't want to preach this text because I want to preach it later, but He doesn't say what He foreknew. He says who He foreknew. And it's who He foreknew as in who He foreordained, who He elected. And those He chose and He knew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ so that Christ get all the glory. And them that He predestinated, what did He do? He called them. He called them. And them that He called, He justified. Now, all of this is in the aorist tense. That means it was all done and nothing could be added to it. That means when Ephesians 1, Paul says in heaven, when He chose us in Christ, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All that was finished from the beginning. Everything you just read there was done from the beginning. And there wasn't a possibility that God in His providence wouldn't bring it all to pass in time. And He did. And that's who we're talking about here, this God who's in control, this God who foreordained it and predestinated it and called us and justified us. That's the God we're talking about here. And this was the people that He glorified. He gave them that glory. Christ gave them that glory so we can behold Him and behold the truth and know Him. He crossed our path with this gospel and He brought us to Him in faith to submit to Him. And He did it irresistibly, sovereignly. He did it. And for you who've been called by God's free and sovereign grace, He says to you, God only works good. That's all He does, is work good. He only works good. You think about the worst sin you've ever committed, whatever it is that bothers you, that troubles you to this day. Let me help you with that. There was some people who were at the bottom of that cross who were crying out, crucify Him, crucify Him, that Christ was laying down His life for. And they have no sin now by what Christ accomplished on the cross. They have a perfect righteousness now by what Christ accomplished for them. The same as a man who's done any other thing. We've all rejected Christ. We've all cried, crucify Him in our rebellion. But my point to you is this. You may think of some sin you committed in the past and think, oh, that's so terrible. It ain't half as... It's way worse than you think it is. I promise you that. You don't even know the half of how bad it is. You think you're bad? You don't know nearly how bad you are. You've crucified God. And I have too. But Christ laid down His life and put that sin away for His people. And then He called us and let us know about it and taught it to us and showed it to us. And He put the love in our heart to love Him. We saw this Thursday night. That love that God puts in the heart. Read that article I wrote, Charity Never Faileth. The love He's talking about, Christ said, I pray. In John 17, He said, I pray that the love wherewith Thou, Father, hast loved Me might be in them. It's God's love for Christ that God puts in us. That's how come it don't fail. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying it's the fullness. If it was the fullness of it, we'd bust. It's He given us of His Spirit. Not the full measure. Christ had the full measure. He's given us of His Spirit, of that love. But that love in itself is perfect. And it's perfected in us. He brings us to the end where you love Christ, you love your brethren, you love your gospel, and you hunger and thirst. And this is our food. We got to have this right here. And so we help each other and love each other, do what we can for one another. Because I'm mad at the preacher. I don't like what he said. Do you believe God works all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called? Hold him up to God. He's just a man. He's just a sinner. Everybody that comes and talks to him has a problem. And he never gets to talk to anybody about anything good. Just trouble. Just trouble. And try to help others. Raise him up to God. And say, God, teach him. Help him. Correct him. I trust you. You're sovereign. God'll do it. He'll do it. And you won't even have to lift a finger or say a cross word. Same with our brethren. See a brother in trouble? See a brother falling? You believe God's sovereign? But when we get mad, fall out, and part way, you know what we're doing? We're betraying our heart. I don't really believe He can do it. That's what we're saying. Whether we want to or not, that's what we're saying. I don't believe God can do it. Well, God can do it. Has He done it to you? Has He brought you to hear the gospel? Has He brought you and brought you in submission to God? He can correct. And if He doesn't correct, that's okay. He's working that together for good too. He's still going to provide for you that are His and still keep you under His gospel. And some of you have experienced that. Maybe He removed somebody that needed to be removed, but He still kept you and kept you under His word, kept you under submission to Him. See, He's working all things together for our good. Listen to this. He puts the love in our heart, Himself, and He tells us now, from the greatest thing to the very least thing, even the very hairs of your head are numbered, He says. And listen to what He says. I want you to look at it. Psalm 91. See this. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Where's that? Anybody here know where that is? Where's the secret place of the Most High? It's Christ. The world don't know about this place. It's Christ. It's a secret place. You dwell in Him, and you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now get this now. Let me say this before I read the next verse. He called us. He put the love in our heart that we didn't have and wouldn't have unless He had done this work of grace in us. He did the work in us. He sustains the love in us. And then look what He says. Because He has set His love upon me. You're talking about a believer here that abides in Christ. Because He set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I'll honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Has He not done that for you, brethren? You have long life that He's given you. Eternal! And He's showing you His salvation now, and He's never going to stop showing it to you. Isn't that amazing? He gave the love, and He says, now because you set your love on me, your love and your affection, you set it on me. And we wouldn't have it if He didn't give it to us. Isn't that grace? Now lastly, go back to Romans 8. All this He's doing according to His purpose. According to His purpose. We've been looking at God's providence. Now here we see God's providence is carried out because of God's eternal purpose. God's purpose is God, before the foundation of the world, predestinating everything that's going to come to pass and everything that He's going to do for His people. That's God's purpose, God's counsel. predestination. Let me simplify it for those that don't understand what predestination is. You got a destination way out yonder. It's God setting that destination for His people prior to the world ever being made. It's predestination. That's an active thing God does only for His people. He predestinates what's going to come to pass for His people. And everything He works in time is providence. And everything He's working in time is fulfilling that purpose. And it's all worked together by God for good, for them that love God, for them He called, all according to that purpose before He ever made anything. Isn't that an amazing God? Have me and you ever predestinated something and made it come to pass exactly like we said we'd do it? Have you ever done that? There's always been something that I'd have done a little different. If anything comes to pass like I wanted it to at all, it's always something I would have worked that didn't quite work out just like I wanted it to. Not God. It's all working out just like God determined it would. That's the difference between God and this little peanut that men are worshiping all over the world and calling God and calling Allah and calling whatever they call it. That's a peanut that you can stomp and crush with your foot. This is God. This is God. This is God. The Lord of hosts. That means, the Lord of hosts means everything's at His disposal. Everything is His to use however He wants it. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. That's what predestination is. That's what purpose is. It's as God has thought. So shall it come to pass, and as I purpose, so shall it stand. He said in Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out. Who's going to turn it back? He said in Isaiah 46:10, I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do all my pleasure. I'll call a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. He wanted King Cyrus to come in and destroy a nation. This ravenous bird that didn't know God. And he called him in and used him to destroy a nation. He said, I'm going to use you. You don't even know me. But afterwards, you're going to know me. And he did that and worked all that using an earthly king and gave us a beautiful picture of Christ, our King, who came from a far country and worked God's will. Isn't that amazing? Why? How could he do that? He said, yeah, I've spoken it. I'll also bring it to pass. I purposed it. I'll also do it. Since he purposed it, it was done from eternity. But he always does in providence what he purposed. God's elect fell in sin with the rest of the world according to God's purpose. God justified his elect from our sin according to God's purpose. Christ crossed our path with the gospel, and the Spirit of God regenerated us to faith in Christ according to God's purpose. And in him we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now let me apply this to all of us. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Next time you're going through the fire, if you're wearing a piece of gold or a piece of silver, you look at that piece of gold, that piece of silver. Next time you're in the fiery trial and it's hard and it's hurting you and you're suffering, you look at that piece of gold and you look at that piece of silver. And remember, it didn't get to be that pretty without going through the fire. The dross had to be removed. But we just sang it. He said, all I'm doing is I'm just removing the dross and I'm just refining the gold. He's not going to lose you. He's just going to make you prettier. That's all. So look at your gold and look at your silver. Remember, I'm just going through the fire to make me shine. That's all. That's what he's doing. I want to end with this. I want to read you this familiar song that we all know by William Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind the frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. But God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. All right, Brother Art, let's sing Be Still My Soul.